last year, I think three males finished the race. They only allow 15 people to enter, and I think that's just because they don't want it so spread out across Russia, you know, if we get dropped behind. I think last year there were right at 15 entrants.
This race is broken down into stages or sections. Can you tell me about a couple of these stages, maybe the ones that keep you up at night?
The stages, there's 14 stages. The shortest stage is 200 kilometers. The longest stage is roughly 1,200 kilometers. That's the one that keeps me up at night because I'll be on my bike approximately 62 to 72 hours riding through the night, no sleep. Nutrition's important. Elevation climb on that one is intense.
Is that nonstop, or do you take a quick break? Do you stretch? I mean, you'd have to get off that's the saddle at some point.
We do have to get off the saddle. Yeah, I will take a break. You don't want to take too long of a break because after 15 minutes, you start to stiffen up. So there's a masseuse on board as well. There's a time frame that you have to complete. So you really have to regulate your time. Seconds turn into minutes, turn into hours off the bike, which means possibly not finishing the stage.
And are you eating while you're biking during that longest stage?
Yeah, I will be eating. I like to drink most of my calories in, but of course you'll need something solid in your stomach as well. So we've been testing out like my nutrition needs, what my GI, you know, your intestines can handle on that. Again, with all the fluids, though, you have to worry about restroom breaks as well. I'll be eating on there, though, and I do have a SAG support truck that will be passing me off nutrition.
So I've heard triathletes sometimes don't take the bathroom break. They just go on the bike. Is that something that, if put in the position, you're prepared to do?
No.
So you'll be taking the bathroom breaks.
I will. Yep.
So where might that be in rural Russia?
Oh, gosh.
Behind a bush, perhaps?
You know, your guess is wherever, as good as
wherever.
Mine. Yeah. Wherever. I know we'll have a few stops along the way. There's a food truck that will prepare meals for all the staff as well. So I'm assuming at those stops is where I'm probably going to take the breaks. But, you know, anything can happen with your plan.
62 to 72 hours on the bike in that longest stage. What's the longest you've ridden in the past?
1,000 kilometers as well.
And how long did that take?
Right around 62, but it wasn't, you know, the 50,000 elevation climb as well.
So you've alluded to this. You're riding solo, but you're not alone. You have a race manager, your own race manager. Then you mentioned a food truck. There's a masseuse that I'm assuming is provided by Red Bull as part of this race. What does the support structure look like?
Volkswagen is supporting all of our sprint vans for us, and that's included in our race entry as well. And there's a medical truck, and the medical truck is full of doctors. I mean, they'll test you, they'll pull you aside if they see that you're struggling or they see that your heart rate data is through the roof. Then there's the separate food truck as well, and then there's a mechanical staff, and then of course there's my sprinter van with my drivers and my race manager.
That sounds expensive.
It's not cheap.
So you're doing some fundraising to make this possible, right?
Yep, I am actually. You know, when I do these longer races, I like to tie a charity into it as well. I was fortunate enough to be sponsored by Hilton that paid my entire entry fee to it. And then, you know, of course, you have the issues of bikes. You know, bikes are expensive.
Well, let's talk about the gear.
Sure.
And let's start with the bike. What will you be riding?
I will be riding my Domani Trek Project One bike that they specifically made for me. And then I will be riding my Madone Race Shop Limited bike.
So those are Trek bicycles.
Both are Trek.
And for the geeks that are listening, do you want to talk about any of the components on the bike?
We sure can. All my components are SRAM Red ETAP. We went with that because they're wireless. So when we're out there, if anything happens, we don't have to worry about the wires. I know a lot of people said, you know, why not DI2 Shimano? Well, that's why. And then we have our Cork power meters on there with the new D0 power meters, so I can see if my leg output on each wheel is putting out the same wattage, so I don't get cockeyed in my saddle, because that's going to be an issue as well. On the rear, we have the new Wifly, I think they call it Wifly, Wifly, rear derailleur. It's a longer tooth rear cage derailleur that will hold a 32-tooth cassette, so we added that on there as well. And then up on the fronts, on both bikes, we have the SRAM Red blips, so I don't have to quite use my adjusters on the front. You know, I can position them where they're under the bar tape, so, but I can move them around if I need to.
How do they feel?
They feel great. They feel really cushy and awesome. You know, I wasn't sure how I was going to like the electronic shifting, but considering that you're going to be shifting quite a bit out there, my hands get stiff. So electronic shifting was the only way to go for me, and they're very sensitive. And compared to the DI2s have two buttons that you need to shift around on when you're changing gears. Well, when your hands are cold and you're wearing gloves, you can miss shift with those. So SRAM just has one paddle on each side, and it's a little backwards if you've used DI2s, but it's really pretty simple.
We'll post the Red Bull video with this article, but sure. For anyone who sees that, they might ask if the road bike is sturdy enough for the road conditions.
Sure.
There's potholes. Some of it's unimproved. It looks like you're on a gravel grind rather than a road race.
Yeah, we considered that when we picked out the Domani for our bike as well. Right now we have 25 wheels on the back, 725s. We can.
And that's the width of the tire. 25 millimeter.
Correct. Yep. We can up that to a 28. So that's kind of like putting a smaller cross tire on the back of your bike. So we figured this will be the do-all bike. It's light enough that it's going to help me climb as well, which is, again, the big cassette in the back. I'm not really too worried. I mean, whatever comes along, you know, but this is going to be the bike that's going to, it will be okay with the decouplers in the back as well.
You have to prepare for all kinds of weather for this ride across Russia. What about other gear, stuff you'll be wearing?
Anything and everything, you're right. Rain gear we have to have packed, cold weather gear, fleece gear, cyclocross skin suits we have picked out, waterproof. Cyclocross suits are usually waterproof too. We'll be wearing those. And then, of course, when you get down into the flats, you know, you're going to be peeling it all off and you'll be in your lighter summer gear almost. So, yeah, there's a lot of gear.
Thursday Gervais is an ultra-distance cyclist and a Bloomington resident. She has less than 120 days to train for the Red Bull Trans-Siberian Extreme. Let's talk about training. What is a typical day like for you right now?
Right now, a lot of it's on the trainer because we're here in the Midwest. But it's been helping with my regulating my cadence on my bike.
And by trainer, we're talking about a bicycle that's hooked to sort of rollers that you ride inside.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. I'm using a Cyclops Powerbeam Pro, if anybody wants to know, or the Hammer. So
more geek information.
More geek information. I love that stuff. But yeah, so right now it's indoors. We program our days anywhere from 8 hours and up to 11 hours, and then we'll take a few hours break, and then we'll get on the next day again. And we're trying to close the gap here, so it all flows into a 12-24 hour time frame. And then as it warms up here, hopefully any day soon, I can start taking these 18-24 hour longer rides outside.
Yeah, we had some spring weather, but it's sort of disappeared lately. So you're ramping it up between now and July.
Correct.
Is this something you do by yourself, or are you being coached by people who know what you have to accomplish in order to finish this race?
I do have a coach. She's out in Oregon. Her name's Ann Linton. She's with Wenzel Coaching. So she's been sending me my training programs through Training Peaks on a daily basis. And, you know, we analyze our data, which will be released after the race.
And I said finish the race. Is that your goal, or is your goal to actually win this thing?
Well, my goal is to finish. There's two other male Americans in the race, though. So I also have a goal to beat the other Americans as well. I want to be the first female and the first American.
We talked about some of the expense. What about some of the logistics? You have to ship the equipment over there. What do you have to take care of before you actually? And it starts in Moscow, right?
Correct.
So that's your starting point.
Yep. We have to ship our bikes over. I'll be bringing them over on a plane with me, which means boxing them up, taking them apart. The wheels. We're going to probably bring about 6 different sets of wheels with us as well. Any smaller items that we can bring over and ship in a box, we'll ship to the Hilton Hotel ahead of time. We need to make sure it gets there as well. But, all the extra race gear, tools, whatever, so we don't have to fly with those.
And tell me about how the training is affecting your career. You can be flexible as an artist, but is it cutting into the time you have for art and how you're actually making a living?
Yeah, it is cutting into the time, but I'd sort of prepared for that. I had a big show last November and December where I put out 23 different pieces of artwork, and my gallery dealer also knew that. So we were prepared. I've been prepared on my finances with that as well.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with Thursday Gervais, who will be racing across Russia this summer. There's a great documentary about the race across America. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
Why not start with that grueling race? It seems like that might be the first step.
People have asked me that. Actually, that was my original plan. I qualified for RAM, and I was going to do RAM 2017, and I got a call from Red Bull, and they said, hey, would you like to do race across Russia with us? And I said, well, that takes a year off my time. I had planned on using RAM as sort of my training ride, if you will. It sounds odd to say RAM would be a training ride.
it does. It sounds like a bucket list pinnacle to me.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought about it for about 12 to 24 hours, and I got back to Red Bull and I said, yeah, sure, I'm in. Let's do it. I want to be the first woman to do it. And there's only going to be one first, and I want that to be me.
We talked about raising money to compete. You're also raising money in this race for the National Kidney Foundation. What's the backstory on your race manager, Danielle Hill?
Danielle, she's so special. I'm so glad I met her. She's had 2 kidney transplants. She had one, and then it failed after 6 years, and she was on dialysis for 12 years. And then she was lucky and fortunate enough to get a second kidney. So when I asked her to be my manager, and she agreed, and she said, hey, look, since you always do a charity connected, can we do the National Kidney Foundation? And I said, absolutely. It's near and dear to her heart, and it gives her something else to work for as well. Not just be my manager, but
another way to give back.
Correct.
Yeah. You've had your own health challenge as well. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes and no, not really. I had some tumors about 5, actually it's been 5 years ago to the date, really, that I had to have removed, ovarian cancer, and it was fine. We got them taken out. But there were, pitfalls here and there and struggling to try and get back on my feet.
And is being a cancer survivor having any lasting physical effect on your training, or is that all in the past?
It's not really all in the past, no. I still have some physical challenges because of it. When the medications were kicking in, I have osteopenia, and I think that's in due because of some of the stuff I went through treatment-wise.
And what is that?
It's one step below osteoporosis, so it's just kind of your bones are just, deteriorating a bit.
Does having survived that disease provide any sort of mental boost in any way, though, as you train or as you think about completing this race?
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm doing it, actually. When I was laying there sick, I said, this isn't me. I'm not going to let this define me. And it gave me a goal. And I started out with small goals, just doing sprint triathlons locally and then upping it. And then, doing full Ironman, half Ironman, and then 24-hour world time trials. And I just said, I'm going to keep making these goals. So, I'm lucky to be here. And I want to show people that they can fight and they can succeed.
What do your doctors think about what you're doing? I assume all of the physical exercise is great for the condition you have with your bones.
Yeah, they're supportive. Of course, I'm not taking any medications now, though. That's, so I'm trying to do, I'm doing this all naturally. So there's some conflict there, they worry, but I'm at my 5-year point, so I'm doing really well.
And being closely monitored?
Correct.
All right, Thursday, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your interview, too. Thank you.